Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me here today. Something I have come to realize in a much deeper way than ever before is that God is not just out there somewhere. He's actually inside me. Because I have invited Jesus to be Lord of my life, the Spirit of God dwells in me. That means I don't have to wait for God to come to me from somewhere out there. I don't have to, like when I talk to him, figure out how to reach him out there somewhere. But I can quiet myself and listen to his still small voice from inside me, speaking peace to me, bringing comfort to me, whatever I need. He is already inside me to meet that need. That means he's there for you too. He's inside you. He's already in you, ready to meet your need. I know sometimes we feel like God is out there somewhere and we have to figure out how to reach him, but he's in you. He is in you. Now, the incredible thing is that he is also out there, right? He is sitting on his throne at the exact same time that he is in me and he's in you. And we can come boldly to that throne of our gracious God to receive his mercy and find his help, which I know you're like me. I so desperately need his help. We find that in Hebrews 4:16. So he is out there and he's sitting on his throne, but he's also at the same time inside us. So we don't have to try to reach him on his throne because he's also on his throne inside us. I mean, that's just mind-boggling, isn't it? I want to read a scripture that has helped me continue moving forward, and I'm going to read the scripture and then let's unpack it a little bit, okay? Because I think this is one of those scriptures that we can maybe see it a wrong way. It kind of turns us off. But like I said, let me read it and then let's talk about it a little bit. This is Philippians 3:13-14, and it says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now, I know the part that really bothers us is when it says forgetting what is behind. And this does not say, it does not mean that we are forgetting and leaving our children behind us, because that will never, ever happen. I see it as an encouragement to press on toward the goal, which to me is learning how to live a full and meaningful life again with what says the prize of the upward call being eternity with him and with my child and with others I love who are patiently waiting for me to join them. Looking forward to what is still ahead to me is a huge comfort. Now, it does not erase the pain of now, but over time, it does seem to help to ease it. And the longer I remain here, the more excited I get that I am getting closer and closer to that prize, that eternal prize, and my daughter. When the scripture talks about forgetting what is behind, what I see that meaning is don't let it overwhelm you and continue to absorb you and become your identity. Because we can let the death of our child become our identity, can't we? When Becca died, I would want to introduce myself that way. Hello, I'm Laura, and my daughter died. I mean, I felt like that was who I was. And I did eventually come out of that. But it feels like it becomes our identity. And so when this scripture talks about forgetting what is behind, what I think it's talking about is don't wallow in it to the point where this becomes who you are for the rest of your life, because that's not who you are. I mean, it is, but that's not where we have to live from. That's not the identity we have to live from. As I found myself struggling so deeply with that horrific thought, that feeling that I was getting further and further away from Becca, I would like get panic attacks. Like I couldn't even breathe thinking about how can I live here 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? I mean, I couldn't even breathe thinking about that. That just seemed absolutely impossible to me. And so, you know, I would ask God to help me with this. He did graciously show me that His truth was different than my truth, and it could become my truth, and that it was actually something totally different than how I was seeing it, because every day I live on this earth, it brings me closer to my own departure date and closer to Becca, not further away from her. I am not getting further away from Becca. I'm getting closer and closer and closer to being with her again, seeing her again, and being with her forever, never having to be separated again. And that truth brought me freedom. Now, yes, I still have moments when I have those painful thoughts, and they can still make me cry, but I'm not overwhelmed by them like I used to be, because I now believe a truth that is deeper than my own pain. Let me say that again. I believe a truth that has brought me freedom that is deeper than my pain of missing her and being here without her, knowing I'm getting closer to her, not further away from her. And I just pray that that thought will begin to break through your pain also, bringing you the peace and the comfort that the Holy Spirit wants it to bring for that future prize that we have. Romans 8:25 in the Phillips translation says, "In our moments of impatience," or maybe I'll put in pain and sorrow, "let us remember that hope always means waiting for something we haven't yet got. But if we hope for something we cannot see, then we must settle down to wait for it in patience." The definition I like the best for hope is a confident expectation. I have a confident expectation that I am getting closer and closer to my daughter again, to seeing her, to holding her, to hearing her laugh, never to be separated from her again. That is my hope. It's not wishful thinking, like I hope it doesn't rain today. It is a confident expectation. I was talking to a group of moms last Monday night, and we were talking about the scripture Isaiah 40, verse 31. This is another one that we can kind of struggle in. And it's the scripture that says, "Those who hope in the Lord," and some translations say, "those who wait on the Lord," "those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." Now that part we get, that part we need, right? It goes on to say, "they will soar on wings like eagles." That part is kind of hard to digest, isn't it? I don't feel like I will ever be able to soar when my child isn't here. "They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And that's another part. It's just like, I don't see that happening. How can I run and not grow weary in this life when Becca's not here? How can I walk and not be faint when Becca's not here? And what we ended up really kind of deciding is that for us as bereavers, as parents who are bereaved of our children here on earth, that our soaring on wings like eagles is in our future. I mean, yes, it is possible to soar. I'm telling you right now, you probably don't think it's possible, but it is. It is possible. You think of an eagle is a bird. They just catch the drift of the wind and they soar. They don't have to flap their wings. They don't have to work hard at it. They just soar and go with the wind. And you can get to a point where there are moments in your life where you can soar again. There are times where we can run and not be weary. There are times we can walk and not be faint. You will get to that point again. But as a whole, we kind of decided that for us, this might be a verse that's talking about heaven for us, that when we get to heaven, when we join our children, we will soar on wings like eagles. That's part of our future prize for us, is to be able to soar like that for eternity when we leave here and we join our children and we see Jesus who made all of this possible. We join our other loved ones. And that makes me want to just talk about heaven just a little bit here today. As a Pareaver, I have three things that I think are important about the subject of heaven. Now, the first one I want to talk about, if you've been with me for any length of time, you've heard me say this. Maybe you need to hear this again as a reminder. Maybe you are fresh on this journey and you haven't had this spoken into you yet. But there are parents, there are Pareavers that have a fear of not knowing if your child is in heaven. And so as we've been talking about this, and I've been talking about joining our child in heaven, and it just makes your heart sink. You've thought about turning this off because I can't think about it because I don't know if my child is there or not. Let me just say, you don't know. You don't have all the information to be able to know that. I believe God is big enough to have made every opportunity possible for your child to accept him before leaving this earth. Now, this could have easily happened during a time you know nothing about. It could have been in their childhood when they received Jesus. My sister had a time where she was just crying. She was young, and she was just crying because she was scared of going to hell and not, you know, having, we were raised that baptism is an act of salvation, but you know, my parents don't seem to remember it, but my sister and I both had the message. We believed that our parents gave us the message that we would ask to be baptized because we wanted to be saved and go to heaven, but being told we were too young to understand it. And so, you know, it put fear in both of us that we weren't going to heaven. And, you know, like I said, my parents don't remember ever telling us that, but for whatever reason, my sister and I, that's the message we both seem to receive. Anyway, my sister was crying about that, and she just felt this peace come over her and feeling like it's okay. It's okay. You're mine. And so, you know, your child could have experienced something like that as well. And even though maybe they lived in rebellion, maybe they lived in addiction, maybe they didn't bear the fruit of that, but God knows their heart. God knows the internal being. We know when we're told the whole thing with David that God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And so God looks on the heart of your child. Your child could have received him during high school, an event or whatever, and not wanted to tell you because they didn't want to hear things like, are you reading your Bible? You should be going to youth group. Are you going to church? Are you praying? They just wanted that relationship to be me and God. And even, let me say this, I believe that if your child had not received him, or maybe had and was not walking the walk, I believe during that exact moment that your child took their last breath, why wouldn't Jesus come to your child with so much love and say, here I am, do you receive me now? And all it takes is for your child to say yes, and that's it. All we need to do is accept that gift when it's offered to us. And so let me go back to, you don't know, you don't have all the information. So you can either choose to continue to walk in fear that brings torment, and we know where fear comes from. It does not come from God. Or you can choose to walk in faith that somehow, somewhere along the line, even when it was in that moment of death, of crossing over, my child said yes and received Jesus, and my child is waiting in heaven for me. That's one of those three things that I think is so important to talk about when we talk about heaven as Pareavers. Another one is that you are not a terrible person for having a stronger desire to get to heaven to see your child than to see Jesus. I spent several years battling that. I remember a year after Becca died, I was with a friend and I started crying and I said, I feel so horrible that I am more excited about getting to heaven to see Becca than I am Jesus. And she said, but Laura, you've made a deposit there. What a precious thing to say. And then later, the Lord led me to that scripture. I believe it's in Matthew that says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. One of our greatest treasures ever is in heaven. That's where our heart is with our treasure, right? And I believe, I picture Jesus being so happy and excited that he could make a reunion possible between us and our children. I can see him when we get to heaven standing back and letting us run to our child and hug and cry happy tears if there is such a thing in heaven, right? He says he'll wipe away our tears. I don't know if he says there will be no more tears, but I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I cry at everything. So I can't imagine not crying when I see Becca. And Jesus just standing back with just the greatest smile of satisfaction and then stepping forward so that we can hug him and worship him and thank him for making it possible. So you are not a terrible person if that's how you feel right now as well. It probably took me about 5 years before I could say, yeah, I'm just as excited to see Jesus as I am Becca. So I just want to put that out there too. And the last thing that I want to say about heaven, and I touched on this already, being a spiritual person, being an intimate follower of Jesus does not automatically remove the painful effects of our child leaving this earth ahead of us. I know that was something I struggled with. Why can't I get the victory over this? I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Why am I still struggling with this? I know where Becca is. And I would beat myself up about that. Being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, having an intimate relationship with him did not automatically remove the pain of my daughter not being here anymore. Knowing that our child is in heaven and that we will see him or her again someday in glory does not bring some big God-sized eraser and take away all the pain. I wish that were the case, but it isn't. And because that pain has not fully been taken away from me, and I don't believe it ever will, that's why I can minister to you. That's why I can come on here week after week and share my heart with you and share hope with you, because I still have that pain, because I know what it's like to be in that place of darkness, to have that pain that your child isn't here. And because I still have that pain is why I can be here for you today, right now, in this moment. Let me read 2 Corinthians 4:18 to you. So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven, which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last. That is our future prize, right? We have a future joy. We have a wonderful future waiting for us. That doesn't mean that you don't have a wonderful future here on earth, but man, oh man, it helps me, and I hope it helps you lift some of the heaviness and the darkness, knowing that this isn't it, and we do have a future prize yet to come. I want to let you know about something that I have not mentioned in quite a while. In fact, I think it was probably in the fall, the last time I talked about this. But in our online store at GPS Hope, we have shirts with the saying, "Hold on, pain eases, there is hope." There are sweatshirts, there are hoodies. I know we're coming into summer and we don't need that warm stuff, but I love my zip-up sweatshirt with the "Hold on, pain eases" on it, because this time of year is when you can walk out the door. It's really chilly. You need a little something warm. You don't need a full coat. And so I wear my zip-up sweatshirt a lot this time of year. And also, you know, same thing in the fall. We also have long-sleeve t-shirts. We have short-sleeve t-shirts. We have moisture-wicking t-shirts. And we even have a baseball t-shirt. These all come in a lot of sizes and a lot of colors. If you want to see them and check them out, go to gpshope.org, click on the store tab, and then on the Hope merchandise, and you'll see everything right there. I will also put a link in the show notes that will take you directly to that page to see all of the different Hold On Pain Eases shirts that we have available for you. Let's go ahead with our birthday segment. I want to remind you to listen all the way through, and when I'm done sharing these birthdays, I will tell you how you can have your child added. Tara Alua Chizoba was born on March 17th and is forever 7 years old. Aiden William F. Tejada was born on March 17th and is forever 17. Daniel Wilson was born on March 21st and is forever 30. We celebrate the day these children came into the world. We know it will always be a very special and important day to these families. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced, go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Please fill out the pronunciation section of that form if your child's first or last name is often mispronounced, because I do want to say it correctly for you. And if you don't tell me how to say it, I may slaughter it, which I'm very sorry. I don't mean to do that. The week of your child's birthday, Dave will send an email out to remind you to listen, along with a reminder to add your child again if you want them on the list for the next year, because we don't automatically just keep doing every child every year. You have to re-add them. If we don't do that, our list gets really long with birthdays of children whose parents are no longer listeners to this podcast. So go to gpshope.org/birthdays, fill out the form, submit it, and I will also put a link to that in the show notes so you can go there directly. To wrap this up, I want to read Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, which is the scripture that I read towards the beginning of this episode. I want to read it in the Message translation. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So I want to encourage you to keep running, keep walking, keep crawling if that's where you are right now. Keep hoping. Don't lose that hope. Let me be your hope for you if that's what you need right now. But I want to remind you again, like I do the end of every episode, H-O-P-E, hold on. Pain eases. There is hope. There is hope in your future, both here and when you are with your child again.